And this conference is on the 12 promises of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. As a member of the Society of Jesus, I have a vested interest in speaking on the 12 promises of the Sacred Heart. To promote devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus is part of my Jesuit rule of life. It was occasioned by the revelations made to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, the Visitation Nun, whose spiritual director, Blessed Claude Colombier, was a member of the Society of Jesus. It was he who identified the authenticity of her mystical experiences. Margaret Mary died in her community with a reputation of being out of her mind. There are many more revelations that our Lord made to Margaret Mary than the 12 that we commonly associate with the promises of the Sacred Heart. But these 12 synthesize all the other revelations made to his servant. My purpose here will be very simple. Watching my time, I will identify each promise, then make a brief commentary explaining what it means, but especially applying the promise to ourselves. You might say the 12 promises are an expansion of the 8 Beatitudes. The promise from Christ, but provided we fulfill the condition. We might call these the 12 conditional promises of the Sacred Heart. First promise. I will give them all the graces necessary in their state of life. I think in today's unstable world, where people seem to walk out of one, quotes, state of life into another, we should remind ourselves that God wants all of us to have a stable state of life to which he calls us and to which he wants us to respond and then remain faithful until death in that state of life. Clearly, however, every state of life, the priesthood, the religious life, marriage, requires, if a person is to live that state of life according to the will of God, requires much, much constant help from God's grace. The first promise is the assurance that God will give us, provided we are devoted to His Sacred Heart. Christ will give us all the graces necessary. Necessary for what? Necessary to remain in their state of life. Necessary to remain faithful in their state of life. Necessary to become holy in their state of life. Second promise, I will establish peace in their homes. When this promise was first made, no doubt it was very necessary for people to realize there is such a thing as peaceful home life. But today, in the shambles that a godless philosophy has made of the homes of domestic families, of the homes of religious families, we are living in a country which has the highest breakdown of family life in the world. And we're living in a country with the most massive breakdown of religious families in the history of our nation. But note the promise of the Sacred Heart. I will establish peace in their homes. Peace, evidently, between the members of the family. But there can be no peace between people. What our Lord is telling us in this promise is a promise He gives of providing peace between people. But there can be no peace between or among people unless there is first peace within people. And there can be no peace within people unless their wills are conformed to the will of God. And for a follower of Christ, this means there can be no peace within us unless our wills are conformed to the will of Christ, who is God. We shall be in as much peace with other people. There will be as much absence of conflict between them and us, or better, us and them, as we are ourselves conformed to the will of Jesus Christ. If you love me, says Christ, keep my divine commandments. Third promise, I will comfort them in all their afflictions. What is the underlying premise of this promise? It is that anyone devoted to the Sacred Heart of Jesus should expect trials, difficulties. We call them problems. In a word, the cross. If you wish to be my disciples, says the Master, you must carry your cross daily. He carried his. We are to carry ours. What Jesus is promising is what he promised in the Beatitude. Blessed are they who mourn, they shall be comforted. The English word comfort or comforted does not bring out the full revealed meaning of what Jesus is telling us. We shall be made fortes, strong. We shall be provided fortitude, strength. And first, strength of mind, deep conviction of faith. As I've been telling people over the years, the only courageous people in the world are convinced people. Everyone else is a coward. Convinced of what? Convinced. And what faith this takes. Convinced that the trials of our lives are too much for us to cope with, comma, alone, period. We shall be strengthened in the degree of our faith that while God will send us the trials, we, and that's where devotion to the Sacred Heart is no option, believe me. It is an obligation of the spiritual life. In order that by our devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, we might obtain the strength of mind as conviction, and the strength of will as courage, to see that the same God who sends the affliction provided, but get that proviso, provided, I ask him for the help, he will give me the grace I need, not to get rid of the tribulation, but to become stronger. Get the comparative of that adjective. The main reason that Christ sends us tribulations is that by trusting in him, in his divine heart, we might become stronger through the trial that with his grace we overcome. Fourth promise. I will be the secure refuge during life, and above all, in death. Refuge means many things, but here it means assurance, hope, trust, not merely a subjective emotion, but, as we've just said, the objective, real, actual belief that there is more to life than what we see with the eyes of the body, or even with our naked minds, can understand. Jesus Christ is not only with us, he is within us as the constant bulwark during life, and I've assisted enough people entering eternity, how we need this secure refuge before we leave this world and make that last step into the world to come. Fifth promise. I will bestow a large blessing on all their undertakings. The key word in this fifth promise is the word undertakings. Jesus Christ, we believe, is master of the universe. We are constantly under, pause, taking all kinds of enterprises. When we wake up in the morning, we just don't know what will, quotes, happen during the day. But Christ, who is God, does know, provided we are devoted to his Sacred Heart, he will assure us that what we blindly undertake, well, not quite blindly as far as we can see, but not blindly, provided we trust in his promises, he will see us through. I've watched people over the years, my 40th year in the priesthood, have taught over 500 of my own Jesuit priests. By now I can look back and almost make a checklist of those who succeeded in their undertakings and those who dismally failed. All I can tell you is there is no proportion, zero, no proportion between a person's natural talents and ability and the sometimes phenomenal achievements that all of us, and I'm speaking especially of priests whom I know so well, the achievements they make. The key is not natural talent. The key is a deep, supernatural, prayerful love of Jesus Christ. I've taught geniuses who have left the priesthood and left behind them the scandal of a broken life. And I've seen very modest talent, barely made it through theology. Wonderful apostolic fruitfulness. Why? Number five. Christ blesses those. What a strange word. Who bless him. The expression, I love those who love me, is one of my favorite passages in sacred scripture. It is God talking. You don't explain this, you believe it. Omnipotence, we have to say it. Omnipotence depends on us. Christ's almighty power is held back until and insofar as we love God, who we believe became man. Depending on our love of Jesus Christ, he will pour out the ocean of his omnipotence. We'll do things that are beyond human ability to achieve one condition, provided we love the Almighty, and the Almighty will share his omnipotence with you. Sixth promise. Sinners will find in my heart the source and the infinite ocean of mercy. These sinners about whom the Sacred Heart is speaking are no strangers in some distant land. Bad grammar, but good theology. the sinners, aros. Again, we don't comprehend this. We believe it. A single act of the love of Jesus Christ. That's all it takes. A lifetime of estrangement from God, of resisting His will, of committing all the crimes in the criminal code. A single act of the selfless love of Jesus Christ, that's the sixth promise. We'll wipe out a lifetime of sin. Let me pause for another moment to explain why, of all people, Margaret Mary, of all times when she lived, to a member of her religious institute, these promises should have been made. You see, in her day, and it's with us today, the virus of Jansenism had infected the Catholic Church. Jansenius had been a Catholic bishop who lost his Catholic faith and spent over 20 years writing a book called Augustinus. The book is one big heresy after another, and the most fundamental error, which I repeat, penetrated the Catholic Church, was that when God became man and died on the cross, He did not die for all of mankind. That Christ died only for the predestined. Straight, undiluted Calvinism. Except in this case, taught by a Catholic bishop. That is a lie. That is why the Sacred Heart chose a Margaret Mary. The founder of whose community, St. Francis de Sales, was the outstanding opponent of Jansenism in the Catholic Church. This sixth promise is the heart of devotion to the Sacred Heart. Christ died for all mankind. Whoever is finally not saved will be lost, not because, dear God, God chose that some people go to heaven and others go to hell. Some will be lost because they refuse to repent. And the heart of repentance is trust in the love of God, in His divine mercy. Seventh promise, tepid souls shall grow fervent. How the Lord hates tepidity. I would, Christ told St. John, speaking prophetically for all ages, that you are hot or cold, but because you are tepid, this is Christ speaking, I will vomit you from my mouth. No matter how tepid we may be, the key is, be converted from your tepidity by doing what? Beg for Christ's mercy. Trust in the love of your sacred heart that your past life will be wiped out and you can start all over again. And how this needs to be said, I know, especially to those who are specially called to sanctity, Christ's priests and religious. Eighth promise, fervent souls shall quickly mount to high perfection. Once more, the key word is the adverb quickly. A single act of the selfless love of Jesus Christ, who we believe is God, is enough to make us saints. The key is that we have enough faith in mind and fervor of will to mean it. I've dealt with by now thousands of souls. I've seen it happen in a moment. Say it and mean it. My Jesus, I love you. But mean it. Mean it. And you are on your road to, as Christ promises, high perfection. Ninth promise. I will bless every place where an image of my heart shall be set up and honored. I wouldn't be here today except for a widowed mother who had a great devotion to the Sacred Heart. My first rational, conscious experience is of a picture of the Sacred Heart over my bed in my third year. We are not talking the language of infantile piety. I respect my intelligence too much to be talking some cheap language about holy pictures. I know enough theology to know that in God's ordinary providence, He does not hear it, He does not confer His interior graces to the soul, except through what we call external graces that we can see, touch, feel in the external order. Images of the Sacred Heart are divinely ordained means of channeling internal graces for the mind to know, for the will to be able to do what Jesus Christ wants us to do. But notice the ending of that promise, where an image of my heart is not only set up, but honored. I recommend some equivalent of a shrine to the Sacred Heart in every home. All I know is that my mother and I had one. So that the image will be both set up and every time you pass it, it will be honored. 10th promise. I will give priests the gift of touching the most hardened hearts. Amen. In preaching to priests, in giving them conferences, and teaching them, I tell them, fathers, cultivate devotion to the Sacred Heart, and you will have extraordinary influence over souls. No question about it, especially the most difficult souls. In a few days, I'll be back in the East teaching theology. One story after another crosses my path of miraculous conversion of sinners to the ministration of priests whose own devotion to the Sacred Heart was simple but strong. If you have some great sinner to convert, let me give you a suggestion. Find a priest who has a tender, childlike devotion to the heart of Jesus, and leave the rest up to the Savior. 11th promise. Those who promote this devotion shall have their names written in my heart, never to be blotted out. This needs saying. If we are to practice devotion to the heart of Jesus, we are also to promote it. If you really love someone, you want to share what you have that is precious. What is more precious? To share with others than our own deep love. And that, by the way, is what devotion means. Dedicated love of the Sacred Heart. Why the Sacred Heart? Because, as Margaret Mary's spiritual director put it in one simple sentence, devotion to the Sacred Heart, he said, is devotion to Jesus present in the Holy Eucharist. Period. Isn't that neat? Because you see God, having become man, God has a heart. And his heart is alive and in our midst, dwelling as we believe in the Holy Eucharist. The more we do to promote devotion to the Blessed Sacrament, which is the living, pulsating heart of the Son of God dwelling in our midst, the more this Christ will not only bless us, but through us, everyone whose life we touch. Finally, the 12th promise, I promise you in the excessive mercy of my heart that my all-powerful love will grant to all those who communicate on the first Friday in 9 successive months the grace of final perseverance. They shall not die in my disgrace without receiving, watch the word, without receiving their sacraments. My divine heart shall be their safe refuge. The Church has approved the 12th promise in canonizing Margaret Mary. We make these 9 first Fridays, and we should continue remaking them, especially as communions of reparation. And Christ assures us, no matter what we may have done, please God, we won't, to be estranged from God. The Sacred Heart assures us we will not die without our sacraments. What are they? The sacraments we need to die in God's friendship. Devotion to the Sacred Heart is the most powerful lifetime prayer for begging for the most important grace we need, the last grace in our lives, the grace of dying in the friendship of God. Lord Jesus, you revealed your Sacred Heart on earth during a visible stay in our midst to your servant, Saint Margaret Mary, and through her, your church tells us these 12 promises are your covenant of love provided. But dear Jesus, give us the strength to fulfill the condition provided we love you with our whole heart. You will love us with your whole divine heart in this valley of tears and in heaven for all eternity. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.